Friday's here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
And Libby Streetwise.
Get out!
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
Oh, good morning, Coastsiders. It's Friday, September 21st, 2018. Hey, go outside and check the wind, but go with your 7-iron. It's time for some coastal windage. I'm your co-host, Reuben Truthmaker, and joining me today, as always, Livy Streetwise.
Well,
Livy, good morning.
Good morning. You sound like quite the live wire.
You know.
How much coffee have you had?
Let's see. 4 cups of coffee, two hours of sleep. You do the math. It's fun times here.
Fun times.
Also with us this morning, as always, in season two of Coastal Windage, Mr. Mojo Filters.
Good Mojo.
How you doing, Mojo?
I'm
Mojo Rising this morning?
Yes, he is.
Is that your brother, Mojo Rising? okay, yes. Anybody under the age of 40 is saying Mojo Rising. Is that some new character on Fortnite? No. That's a line from one of my favorite songs, L.A. Woman by The Doors. Okay, it's 9:01 here in the KHNB studio on Main Street in Half Moon Bay. You know what? This is the kind of morning where everything seems possible. I mean, it's just so beautiful outside. The sun, the temperature is wonderful. Yeah, we had a little ocean smell going yesterday, but you know what? On the coast side, that's just all part
my
of the ambiance.
Goodness, who is this person, Mojo? I'm used to the cynical Reuben. This sounds like a new, optimistic, sunshiny.
Give him 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I
got to
get it all out of my system so when we get to YY, I can just let it, you know, let it rip. Exactly. Let it rip. Exactly. All right.
Okay.
Listeners, this is Coastal Windage. I think you know this. The talk of the coast. The Coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show. Airing every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHNB Community Radio, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. We are, I don't know if you got the message on this, but we are obligated to give it a little guttural sound when we do the call number. So
I did read that memo.
Yeah, KHNB Community Radio, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. Every week we talk about coastside issues and other hot topics. Check out podcasts of our show and stream the show live from khmbradio.com. This is the coastside's community voice, so let's hear from you, coastsiders. The number to call, this is live call-in talk radio, the number to call, 560-9851. You can also send us email. We're reading emails from our listeners this season. coastalwindage@gmail.com. And we actually have an email to read later in the show. All right. Let's get over to the traffic report with Mr. Mojo Filters this morning. This is a new feature we've added this season. I think it's really going to be something that Coastsiders will like.
Especially over the next number of months in light of the story we'll be talking about later.
Yes, Livy is
traffic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Livy is loaded
for
bear with some traffic discussion later today. So and you know what, Coastsiders, if you're out there listening to the show between 9 and 10 a.m. and you see some traffic conditions that other Coastsiders might like to know about, go ahead and give us a call at 560-9851. Let us know what those conditions are. We'll put you on the air, and we'll also update people on those conditions. So how's it looking out there, Mojo?
Well, actually, like a typical Friday, it's pretty nice. It's clear all the way to Pacific if you're going up the coast. Then you got your residual slowing heading down right around the high school. That's just like it always is. But
the merge,
the issue that's kind of bothered me this morning, up at 92 at 35, I've got two big exclamation marks on my phone. There's no red or orange lines. It's like my phone is afraid to give me the traffic report. So it just says lane closed, Skyline Boulevard and Half Moon Bay.
That's
so
awesome.
You might want to check your phone before you leave, because I think last Friday we had the same problem in the same area.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
and
so
I think that's something we're going to be talking about later today,
will.
Of like what in the, you know, HE double hockey sticks is going on up at 92 and Skyline every morning during commute time.
Yeah.
Coastsiders, if you're out at 35 and 92 right now at that intersection, if you're sitting in traffic, if you've just crested the hill and you can safely do so, give us a call. Let us know what's going on up there. Believe it or not, computer apps are not always fully informative. They get us part of the way there, but sometimes not all the way. So we need that live call. And give us a call, 560-9851. Thank you for that report, Mojo.
Okay.
I think it is helpful for the Coastsiders. I know when I'm commuting, it's nice to know what's going on at the top of the hill. maybe I'll delay my departure 15 minutes.
I was going to say, if you get to the top of the hill.
I know, right?
Or whenever you do.
Okay, let's look at our topics for today. We've got our usual news and notes segment in the beginning here. We kind of update people on what's going on in the community, events that are coming up, events that have taken place in the last week. Then we're going to talk about some tense times for the Cabrillo Unified School District this week at a couple of different, two or three of their different sites, their schools. The sheriff has been called, so it's been difficult. We'll get into those incidents and how people responded to them in our next segment. And then after that, stand back. Livvy's going to discuss road work everywhere. But is it really like improving the situation?
Or is it even recognized by Caltrain? Like, which blows my mind because they're saying that, what? There's nothing going on. And anything that's going on is not affecting the locals.
Well, we'll get into that. And then based on what we saw the last week with Hurricane Florence, why? And this is where like we could really use the kind of expressions that the other dude used to give us over the table here in the studio. Why? Reporters in rain gear and storms reporting live. I mean,
yeah, there were quite a few situations during.
So we'll have some fun with that
last one. Yeah,
at the expense of some of these reporters. Speaking of that, Mojo, do you have a weather report for us before we get into the media?
Let's get back to the trusty iPhone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to wet your finger and stick it out the window here.
Well, I can tell you right now, it's sunny. Should be sunny the rest of the day. It's 59 degrees. Should get up to about 66 in the middle of the day. If you're going to go sailing today, might as well forget it. Winds southwest at 0 miles per hour.
Oh, so. I was just going to ask you about wind. Because here's the thing. As a person that likes to get on my bike every once in a while but doesn't appreciate mornings, I like to ride my bike in the afternoon. But here on the coast side, I feel like an old sea captain. Around 10:30 every morning, I'll be looking at the leaves on the trees. They're still. And then around 10:30 every morning, there's just the slightest little riffle in the trees. And by 1 o'clock, it's like a 15-mile-an-hour wind blowing out of the north. So I'm so happy to hear that there's no wind today. Maybe I'll be able to get out on the bike.
I think it's also supposed to be a super nice weekend.
Oh, great.
Actually warm on the other side of the hill.
How about here?
All right, well,
59
here,
degrees?
Yeah, it'll be right. The balmy 60 degrees, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that weather report, Mojo. Yeah, it's like what was that movie with Will Ferrell, the newscaster movie?
The Weatherman?
Yeah, having grown up in Southern California, it's a pretty easy job for the weathercaster.
Well,
today is the kind of movie would...
Anchorman. That's what it was.
That weathermen weather people don't really have to try that hard on a day like today.
It's a hell of a job.
Okay, so we've got an email from a listener.
Oh,
this is
exciting.
This email is from Graybeards12, and Graybeards writes, "So you guys aren't doing Facebook and Twitter anymore, huh? Were you ever? Not much of a stand if you never took your feet. Just wondering."
Okay, jeez.
So, well, one thing I like kind of the
bitterness,
the lyricism. No, the lyricism. Yeah. You know, it's almost like a philosophical statement there. You know,
really?
Not much of a stand if you never took your feet. I can appreciate that, and frankly, I can't disagree with the person's comment. We did have Twitter and Facebook accounts for the show last year, and we even mentioned them a couple of times during the first couple months of the show. But it quickly became apparent that we couldn't cover all the media outlets, and especially during this brief one-hour show, even with all the array of interns we have here. Hi, interns. With the array of interns we have here, we still couldn't keep up. So that pragmatism, coupled with the belief that, at least on my part, that social media is, quote, part of the problem, unquote, made the decision an easy one for us to just cast Facebook and Twitter adrift into the great cultural morass that is America right now. And we're just going to stick with email and the phones. Speaking of which, phones, haven't heard it ring yet. Let's go ahead and give us a call. 560-9851.
Yeah, how about Graybeard giving us a call?
Yeah, Graybeards.
Beards, sure, plural, you know, sorry.
Graybeards 12. So there's 11 other Graybeards out there that, yeah, you know, maybe should call us as well. this show is about the Coastside and for the Coastside. So let's hear from you, Coastsiders. What is on your mind? Coastalwindage@gmail.com, 560-9851. Graybeards12, thank you for that. All right, so updates, news and notes. Fish and Fleet was this past weekend.
Yes, it was.
Did either of you attend?
I did not. I didn't make it, but it was a gorgeous, gorgeous day. Yeah. And the restaurants and the food trucks were all out. And we have a phone call.
Okay, here we go. First phone call of season number two. This is Coastal Windage with Ruben Truthmaker, Livy Streetwise, and Mr. Mojo Filters. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
It's Penny Packer.
Okay, so Penny Packer, one of our most frequent callers from season one. Penny Packer,
yes.
you are calling from the great state of Wisconsin, is that correct, or Michigan?
Neither.
Oh, North Dakota?
No, but close.
Okay.
I wanted to call last week, but I was up north near Canada on the shores of Gichigumi, and I didn't have cell phone reception, so I wasn't able to call in and welcome you to season two. You guys were sorely missed over the summer.
Oh, thank you.
Wait, what was that disease you had last weekend? Scratchy, scroomy? What was that?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what you just said. Wait, hold on.
It was a lake,
sensor,
I think.
Can they say that on the radio? Okay, yes. Whatever that was you said, you can say it again. Go ahead.
On the shores of the Gichigumi, apparently you're not familiar with the, whatever that song, Gordon Lightfoot song.
Wow, that is a good reference. You're going to have to look at that.
Is that the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Good Jeopardy question.
Wow. Okay, so what's on your mind this morning, Betty Packer?
So glad you guys are back on the air, and I'm really digging the weather and traffic report. That's very Good Morning Vietnam of you guys without the tragedies.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
So does that weather and traffic help you out there in Illinois? Yeah. I keep wanting to say Ipanema. Like, I now, for the rest of the morning, I'm hearing the girl from Ipanema being sung in my head.
Thunder Bay, Ontario,
Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Okay.
So what's your weather? Just out of curiosity, where you are right now.
Right now it is overcast with high winds and maybe in the high 50s. Yesterday we had upwards of 5 inches of rain and some tornadoes come through.
Yikes.
In the southern part of our state. Mm.
Well, Mojo, they would give you a run for your money.
I know.
It sounds like they have crazy weather.
You'd have to earn your living over there, Mojo. thanks for the call, Penny Packer. Now we are all feeling much better about living here today.
Yes, well, as also a native of Southern California, you come from my neck of the woods. This weather is ridiculous. I miss my sunny and 75 every day.
Yes, don't we all? Well, Penny Packer, thanks for the call. Keep listening, and feel free to call back again in future shows.
All right, love you guys.
All right, thanks thank
so
you
much.
Very much.
Bye.
Okay, thank you for the call. First call of the season. It's fitting that Penny Packer would call. I believe she's called several times last season. All right, we got several things to whip through here before our first commercial break, which is always upon us before we've even slurped down the first cup of coffee. So we were talking about Fish and Fleet. It was the fourth annual Fish and Fleet. It's organized by the Half Moon Bay Seafood Marketing Association. This is what I liked from the paper. It said, the paper's coverage, they expanded this year with a larger beer garden. That's always a good thing. And more fish-themed displays. You know what? That would actually get me there. Those two things.
Fish and beer. Local fish.
Fish beer. That would be.
No, fish and
fish
beer.
Fish-flavored beer. Ooh. Hop Dogma, are you guys working on that right now?
Yeah.
Don't. Stop. desist on that. I don't think it's going to work. Okay. And then you wanted to talk about the new Creperie.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I cannot wait for this place to open. Uh-huh. So it's right next to Pete's.
What is it called?
It is Maverick's Creperie. And they have the most unbelievable menu that they've posted. Their site is live, and they said they were trying to get open in the mid-September.
Oh, they're not open
TikTok.
Yet?
TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know. Not yet.
This is in the old Taco Bell?
Yes. In the new Leaf Shopping Center.
And they have everything from omelets and scrambles to pancakes to French toast. They have...
Well, wait. they have nothing yet, but that's
correct.
What they're...
But their site is live. Like, they clearly are about to open.
So this is a classic Silicon Valley business then.
Yes.
The site is live. The menu's there. There's no product to be had
yet. Not yet. Not yet. Let's not be tough on them yet. I'm just happy to get rid of the Taco Bell. And then, of course, obviously, they have savory crepes. And the list goes on. And then they're also selling sandwiches. I mean, it is a one-stop shop. It looks delicious. Like, this is going to be a moneymaker.
Okay.
I can almost guarantee it. I mean, if the food that comes out is as good as what it sounds like in the menu, this is like 5 stars. Fish tacos. I mean, and they also have kids' meals.
Okay.
So I'm
but
super
do we
psyched.
Have any, idea when they might be going
they
open?
They said mid-September, but,
we're there.
You know, it's, what, the 21st, 22nd?
I've lost 21st, track.
Yeah, so we're there, but let's give them a little bit of a break.
Okay, Coastsiders, keep your eye on the New Leaf Shopping Center, Mavericks. Well, it's the crepe.
Not Maverick.
It's the crepery. I'm glad I didn't put an A in there instead of an E. I keep wanting, you know, that's wanting to slip out. Mavericks. Anyways. All right. Real quickly, the Half Moon Bay Little League held their board elections, or attempted to, this past Tuesday, the 17th, at the Portuguese Center in Half Moon Bay. They, by their bylaws, they needed a quorum of 25 to hold the elections, but couldn't muster that many people, and so the meeting was canceled. Now, this is significant to the Coast Side, and we're mentioning it because on our March 2nd, 2018 show, we discussed the myriad issues the league was having as a result of not having regular open elections. So they had been just kind of, you know, hey, you want to serve on the board? Great, for several years, and it kind of caught up with them. And now they're trying to do the right thing and can't get enough people to show up for a vote.
Yikes.
So I guess I put it out there to the Coast Side. Give us a call, 560-9851. Is this a canary in the coal mine for Half Moon Bay Little League? You know, there's a lot of year-round leagues and baseball teams going around. This past year, there wasn't as many players as there has been in years past. Is this an issue for Half Moon Bay Little League going forward? Okay, a couple more things. Coast Side Garage Sale is tomorrow. Check that out. Go online. Half Moon Bay Review has maps of where all the spots are. And on Sunday, the 5th Annual Montera Art and Music Festival on 5th Street in Montera between East and LeConte. Local artists, local food, local music. Check that out. It's pretty cool. It's definitely.
I am frustrated about that garage sale because I have a boatload of stuff and I didn't know it was tomorrow.
You know what? I bet you could pull out and just throw it on your sidewalk.
People
are going to be going around looking for garage sales.
Especially
somebody
else.
Maybe I'll do that.
All right.
Yeah, we got to go.
We're late on commercial break. 2 minutes. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Tara, I've been feeling so sad lately. What should I do?
Golly gee, I know just the thing. Let's go to a comedy improv show this Saturday.
But Tara, where can I find one of those around here in Half Moon Bay?
Well, Boo Blanket Improv performs here in town at Fit Studio in Strawflower Village.
I'm so confused. How am I supposed to get tickets?
You can get them online at blueblanketimprov.org or just buy them at the door.
Where does all this money go?
Well, the proceeds go to the local high school's musical and a scholarship for seniors.
That sounds fantastic. I can't wait to go to an improv show this Saturday at 7 to 9 at Fitz Studio.
Hello, this is Frank Vento, broker associate in Taro Real Estate and your hometown realtor. Our fall selling season is just around the corner. If you've been thinking about selling but got distracted by the summer fun, that's okay. The fall seems to bring the buyers back out in full force, ready to find the right home to buy. Please get a hold of me so we can plan a strategy to have you and your home ready for the fall market. On another topic, the Intero Foundation provided a $30,000 grant to our local Coastside Children's Program, CCP. They do some awesome work with the little ones and for families on the coast. They were one of numerous organizations that received a total of over $350,000 from the Intero Foundation this year. If you have any real estate related questions, feel free to contact me. Frank Vento, broker associate at Intero Real Estate. Call me at 650-888-9900. That's 650-888-9900. Or online at frankvento.com. That's frankvento.com.
BRE license number 01321362.
You got to get up every morning with
smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart.
This is Lauren Brolier, founder of Soul Savvy LLC. Do you have trouble reaching your goals? Is it hard for you to take the steps you know you need to take? Do you tend to let fear win? I want to personally invite you to a 3-hour event that will change your life and get you moving. The Vision Workshop is designed to inspire you, but more importantly, to teach you to trust yourself, motivate yourself, and honor the part of you that wants to move forward. You will leave ready to take on the world and live a life you love. Join me September 29th from 10 to 1 at the Yellow House Meeting Space next to BK Motors. For tickets, please visit soulsavvy.com. SOULSAVVY.com. So you too can live a life you love.
All right, and we're back. Coastal Windage, Ruben Truthmaker here with Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters. All right, let's get into our meaty body segments right now. Tense times for Cabrillo Unified School District this week. We had 3 different issues that required sheriff on-site response at 2 different schools. 3 different schools, excuse me. So we had I think most of the community has either experienced it or heard about it by now. There was a bomb scare at Cunha on Wednesday. And then there was reports of, we'll call them issue advocates, distributing,
inappropriate
literature
at
the high school on Wednesday and at some point refused to leave and required the sheriff to respond. And then, on a lesser serious note, but still, you know, something to be concerned about, I think, if you're a parent, there was a homeless camp eviction from the grounds of Farallon View Elementary on Wednesday. So let's talk about the bomb scare, because this, I mean, bomb scare is never a good story, but I mean, this is kind of a sad story generally. And that is, so Wednesday, I'm going to say mid-morning. It became apparent something was going on at Cunha. Parents were starting to get notifications from the school, robocalls, some in Spanish to English-speaking parents. I don't know if Spanish-speaking
helicopters
parents. Helicopters, traffic lining up. Something was going on in the school that the students were evacuated out of the buildings. Parents were contacted to come pick up the kids. The school was evacuated. Wasn't quite sure what was going on there. Some rumors were that it was a bomb threat. So last night on Nextdoor, the mother of a Cunha student involved in this incident wrote a long, in my opinion, very touching, heartbreaking even email or a posting on Nextdoor about what had happened. And the long and short of it is that a child had been getting bullied at the school and had reached their breaking point and had yelled out, something to the extent of, you know, leave me alone or I'm going to kill you or I'm going to kill myself. Over the next few days, this kind of bubbled up to administration, and on the Tuesday before the bomb threat incident, the child was pulled out of school and taken home that day. Well, later that day and in the morning hours of Wednesday, some gossip started to go around on Snapchat that this child or somebody else was going to blow up the school or do something to the school. So there never actually was a bomb threat, according to this mother's post. And this just appears to be social media fueled rumor at best, but the school needed to respond. They heard about this and they took action. So, you know, that's good that we, I guess, get the sense that our school is listening. But so that to me, my heart goes out to the mom and the kid.
I have a million things going through my head, but yes, I agree. I think that this, rapid, quick fire of gossip on social media is the worst thing that has ever happened to this generation of kids. I don't know any of the specifics other than what you just said, but if it isn't this incident, it's another incident. I mean, it's just, and we know what it's like, you know, anywhere, you know, whether it's playground gossip and it's by mouth, like parents talk and all that. Once it gets on social media, there is no stopping it. And it escalates and it escalates. And everyone's lost sight of, usually at least, the truth, the actual, what actually happened. It's all blown out of proportion. Not that this incident was necessarily blown out of proportion, but I really just think that in a myriad of instances, whether it's bullying, whether it's escalated to an event like that happened on Wednesday, very upsetting all the way around.
Yeah, these things take on a life of their own on social media. Well, in addition to the issues raised about social media that you've just kind of documented there, other issues raised by this incident that I think have parents and other members of the community very concerned would be notification. Some parents were notified, others were not. Some parents received calls from their children crying, saying, come pick me up.
That's so scary.
Others received robocalls in a language that they did not speak. So, and others received no notification. So there's, that's very concerning.
Very.
In this day and age, you know, a live shooter incident is something every parent needs to worry about and every school needs to worry about. So notifications seem to be spotty on this incident. Then we've got the issue of the on-site evacuation. Numerous eyewitness accounts have the children exiting the buildings and then lining up right next to the building standing outside. So if in fact there was a bomb in the building and it exploded,
there are the kids standing right next to the building.
Standing right next to the building doesn't seem to be an optimal location, especially when you've got the entire soccer field out there. They could go to the far corner of the field and be literally hundreds of yards away from any building, but instead they were lined up right next to the building. So that had parents concerned. And then the final thing was the actual pickup and, you know, departure of the students from the campus. There was no organized way to do it. There's reports that a parent had to take the initiative and grab sticky notes and be passing them around to parents saying, put your name on this piece of paper so that we can know, you know, who's here to pick up who. Kids were being released with no verification that they were being released to someone that was on their, you know, their approved pickup list. It, you know, it sounds pretty much like mayhem out there.
I was downtown at a coffee shop when all that went down, and it was pretty much pandemonium.
Yeah.
Traffic was pandemonium. And, you know, on top of all this, adding insult to injury, the school is in lockdown anyhow because of mold. And so the whole, they're not even in their school,
right,
which is insane. They're in these other little, like, rooms,
temporary buildings.
So they're already at the poor parents are, I can't even imagine what was going through all their heads and the kids.
Well, so there's some work that needs to be done. And again, like, I'm sure that administration is on it. It's something that's concerning to them. I'm not sitting here going, well, they haven't thought about it. They don't care about it. But again, in this day and age when bomb threats are probably, you know, going to become more and more regular and school shootings are something you have to worry about, I guess parents are a little concerned that the response wasn't as coordinated as people would like. So maybe they're going to learn from this and be better the next time, although hopefully there won't be a next
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
related to this, tomorrow, is San Mateo County Disaster Preparedness Day. At the San Mateo County Event Center in San Mateo from 10 to 4 p.m., they're going to be having this big kind of festival where they have booths, where they talk about what the response is going to be and how to be prepared and what to do for this type of emergency and what kind of things to have in your house and develop your own disaster preparedness plan. So
they're selling alcohol at this?
No.
Oh, I thought you just said booze.
No, because it's a free event, and so okay. I don't think alcohol.
I thought there was going to
be well attended.
I was going to say, that's not going to be well received.
They might get a bump in attendance tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to our next issue that happened at a Cabrillo Unified School District school this week, and that was Tuesday. A group of men, so grown men, were passing out issue-specific advocacy literature, and I'm being very generic with my comments here, because
They're grotesque.
Well, they were grotesque, but I don't want it to devolve down to a discussion of what their issue was. To me, the issue was...
Why not? I mean...
Because people would get focused on that.
That's very polarizing.
That's an issue for another day. What I'd like to talk about today was the fact that there was a group of grown men specifically locating themselves to intercept children on their way to school. They could have been on Main Street and Kelly. They chose Main Street and Lewis Foster Drive, the road that goes up to the high school from Main Street. They staked out that location and were passing out their issue-specific advocacy literature, which contained extremely graphic and emotionally disturbing images meant to elicit those responses in children. Okay, they were talking to high school children on their way to school and also Cunha children on their way to school. To me, Mojo, I hear what you're saying. The issue itself is something that needs to be discussed in America and something that every household should discuss. But to me, the fact that these advocates, the issue advocates, decided that they would take it upon themselves to come to our community and plant themselves in the foot traffic of children and try to scare children with their graphic literature, I ask, is this free speech? You know, they could have been on Kelly and Main Street. We may not even be talking about it, although we probably would based on the graphic nature of their literature. But is it free speech or is this
disgraceful?
I'm going to go there with it. Is this terrorism? Those images and those descriptions in their literature were meant to terrorize.
I think, in my opinion, emotional terrorism.
Yes,
I do. Because you know what? The images that were on those leaflets can't be unseen.
Right. And the fact that if you want to be legitimate in my eyes, then you come to a government body meeting or you have some other public meeting where you say, I feel strongly about this. This is what we're trying to talk about. I want to talk to the adults of the community. You can bring your children if you want, or you can have this, but let's talk to adults of this community because this is an important issue to us. You do not at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, go to the front of the high school and start passing out this stuff to children. That, to me, that is
reprehensible.
Thank you. Perfectly. And furthermore, this group of advocates made their way up Lewis Foster Drive. So Main Street is a public street. I guess you can protest or have your signs or whatever. But they went up Lewis Foster Drive, and that actually becomes school property. They were asked by school officials to leave. They would not. They would not leave, asserting their right to free speech, not knowing that they were on private property, school property. And so the sheriff had to come and ask them to leave.
Did they leave, or did they go back to their main street?
Okay. I heard, and then people reported that the same group was at College of San Mateo the day before. They're probably somewhere Pacifica or Santa Cruz today. So they're going around doing this. They don't care about the community. They're not from the community. I am really offended by this group, these people. You come and have a discussion with us at an adult level in a proper forum. You don't stake yourself out at the high school. So that happened at the high school today. Coastsiders, if you saw that, if you have a feeling on that, again, I don't – Mojo makes a good point. The issue that they were advocating for is a sensitive one in our society and one that needs to be talked about. But for today's purposes – if you've got a thought on issue advocacy at our schools by grown adults without the authorization of the school at which they are planting themselves in front of, wow, that was a long that was a long sentence that was had many different parts to it that I'm not sure went together all the way. But anyways, if you got my drift, give us a call, 560-9851. That one really bothered me. And then the last thing was, and this is a homeless encampment had to be removed from Fairlawn View. There wasn't any problems with that I heard. This was a brief reporting on Nextdoor. If you know Fairlawn View, it sits on kind of a graded pad, and then off the edges, kind of the north and western edges, the pad drops down, and there's kind of some fields and some trees and some trails in there. I think it's part of Corral de Tierra now. Or McNee Ranch. It's part of McNee Ranch State Park. So some interesting, nice trails down there. But I could see where it would be a good place to live if you were a homeless person. It's got good cover, and, you know, you could have some privacy. But it's on school grounds. some parents did receive an email from Principal Gaetan about this. Others didn't. So we've got the notification issue. All right, commercial time again.
It's time.
Coastsiders, give us a call, 560-9851. If you've got thoughts on that, we're going to talk about traffic next. I know everybody's got a thought about traffic. Or give us a, send us an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.
Meet Kirsten Hagen.
Having been a Coastside realtor for over 15 years, I love living in, working in, and supporting the Coastside community. I've helped dozens of families reach their real estate goals. I listen carefully and will act as your consultant, negotiator, and overseer of all the details. Whether you or someone you know is looking to buy, sell, or invest, from the first call to the closing and beyond, I'm your trusted full-service realtor. You can relax knowing that my phenomenal team of professionals will guide you home. We will do the right things at the right times in the right ways to ensure you accomplish your real estate goals. I'm Coastside Realtor Kirsten Hagen. Visit me online at homesbyhagen.com. That's homesbyhagen.com.
You have heard our ads about Sterling Court in San Mateo. Now you can enjoy a free happy hour to see what Sterling Court is all about. Visit Sterling Court on Fridays from 4 to 5 and talk with fellow seniors while enjoying relaxing live music. Check out their active independent retirement community and find out for yourself why they like living at Sterling Court. Remember, Sterling Court stands out for our premier location, gourmet dining, easy access to shopping, restaurants, medical facilities, churches, parks, and more. Come visit us in San Mateo any Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. for a fun happy hour at Sterling Court. For location and more information, call 650-344-8200. That's 650-344-8200.
All right, Coastsiders, we're back. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. And now, stand back. Livy is going to wield her cudgel that is the cudgel that is her intellect on road work everywhere.
Really?
So, here's the thing. I want you to address this. Yeah, it seems like there's everywhere you look, there's an orange, you know, DPW truck or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that it seems to me is that none of this is actual infrastructure development. It just seems like it's repaving of existing
situations.
Like, it's not really improving anything except getting rid of some potholes.
Well, the big one is what's going on 92. And I think the most disturbing thing about this is that the California Department of Transportation,
also known as Caltrans,
began this $4.2 million four-month paving project on the four-mile stretch of 92 from Pilarcitos Creek Bridge to the 280.
Yeah.
So the guy, the spokesman from Caltrans, said this was a minor paving job. I spoke to a number of people about it, and they all told me that there was no work on 92 itself. So, I mean, this was plastered on the Half Moon Bay Review. It said Highway 92 work to run through November. It says Coastsiders frustrated by Caltrans communications. There has been no communication. I think that's mostly the frustration and the fact that this work has been done during major commute time. This is not like a 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. project.
No, they had listed on their website when they talk about this, Caltrans, that this was going to be happening Sundays through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. I can tell you that I commuted to a job site down in the South Bay a couple weeks ago. And I was coming through at 9:30. And we were backed up all the way down to the bottom of the hill, down to Lima.
Oh, jeez. 9:30 a.m.
Not 9:30 p.m. And technically, I guess, the paving was not on 92, but it was at the 92-35 intersection.
Doesn't even matter. Give me a break.
They had it down to one lane because they had machinery coming in and out. So
give me a break.
Let's not have that. Caltrans, the most unassailable of public outfits. I mean, you try getting a hold of someone at Caltrans.
This drives me crazy. Okay, soapbox is out because we live
in
the wealthiest area pretty much in the world. How we cannot figure out to take care of our infrastructure properly, A, and B, paying these poor folks overtime anyhow, because this is just, you know, as we all know, really difficult work, especially when you're out in the sun and it's hot and you're on boiling hot asphalt, that we couldn't throw them a bone, pay them overtime, and okay, you're working 11 to 4 a.m. and knock it out. Just, and then we wouldn't have any of these PR issues with locals, and get it done and pay these people actually what they're worth. They probably should be making what they'd be making in overtime just as regular time, but let's not get started about that because there are a million positions in the professional world that should be paid more. Teachers. But so there's that. And then there's downtown. I have no idea what they're doing downtown. They're jackhammering away.
Like, where are we talking about here?
At multiple intersections. Usually it seems to still be by the library.
Yeah, definitely still stuff happening
something
over by the library.
Something going on over there. And I mean, it's not some beautification project, I don't think. I'm seeing nothing spectacular happening.
It just seems like repaving here and there. It seems like a sidewalk is going in. But
how about working on infrastructure? Again, back to the fact that we have more money collectively than we know what to do with here in Northern California and Silicon Valley. Let's get it together. I mean, we have this rickety bridge.
What, the Main Street Bridge?
The Main Street Bridge that was never fully satisfied in... I think we just kind of put some Band-Aids on it. And
oh, boy, Libby. I don't know if you want to open up that can of worms again. That was like a three-year...
Yes. Yes, it was.
Know, talk about
special
there. For the
love of God, how we couldn't figure that out. So, at any rate, I feel everyone's pain. I have become a total, like, staying on this side of the hill crazy person.
Yes.
Because it's like I'm going to Nebraska to go over the hill because I'm like, oh, God, am I ready to stay in the car an hour and a half?
I like Nebraska. Speaking of Nebraska, that's where the other dude is right now. So, but you can't really escape it coming to the studio today. So they're building the new fire station at Obispo,
yes.
Coronado, and El Granada. In my opinion, not a worse location could they have chosen.
I don't understand that location.
So they've got gigantic, earth-moving trucks, that they fill up with rocks and stuff.
Cranes, bulldozers.
Out there at 8 a.m. during commute time.
Yep.
Trying to do the zipper merge from Obispo onto Coronado.
Yeah.
A giant, huge truck that can't get out there. People won't let them out there. These huge trucks accelerate at a, snail's pace because they're loaded down.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you use the word accelerate.
Yeah, right.
In air quotes.
Loosely. Yes, loosely. that's the kind of thing that, at 8 a.m. on a Friday.
Yeah, that's the best time to do
it. They've got gigantic trucks loaded down with rocks, clogging up an already difficult intersection. That's the kind of thing that's really frustrating.
And yes.
One of the problems we've got here is, who to even complain to? There's multiple agencies at play. You've got County of San Mateo, Department of Public Works. So which roads and streets do they deal with? You've got City of Half Moon Bay, Public Works Department. Which road and streets do they work on? And then you've got Caltrans, District 4, not to be confused with County Board of Supervisors, District 3, or your congressional district, or your state assembly district, or now your City of Half Moon Bay district, or your Harbor District.
Yeah.
Don't get those confused. So this is District 4 for Caltrans, in case you're wanting to contact them. But which of these agencies is dealing with which of these roads?
And who is really going to listen to any complaint? Wow. I mean, it's going to be like you're calling in, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so, hold please. You get to them. Oh, you need to talk to someone. And then you end up cycling back to the original person or disconnected.
Oh.
That's really fun.
So, but what are we saying here? What do we advocate? Oh, how are we just complaining?
We are just complaining.
You're just complaining. I have to say. I honestly, I drive past the same things you do and I don't have any of those thoughts.
Really?
Yeah, I have no issues with construction. I see the fireplace or the fire department, the fireplace. I see a fireplace.
And that's why you honestly have good mojo.
I mean, I think if you really want to change it, you're going to have to work your way up to the top of the political food chain and start there. But complaining, not so much.
Huh. No. No.
But what if we replace the word complaining with protest?
I think if you can come to it with a solution, you're a little more valuable than if you just come with a complaint.
Let me ask you this, just on a theoretical level. So if you came with a solution, so you used your brilliance and you came up with a solution that's workable if somebody would just listen, do you really think that you would get anybody at the level of power that you would need to listen?
No, my solution was to become the level of power. Yeah, no, I mean it's all about management.
Yeah.
In that industry, it's called politics. But good management will make all the difference.
Mm. Okay.
Voice of reason for Mojo.
I know. I'm trying to get up like a really full-throated rant going here, and then Mojo comes in with like logic and reality.
Yeah, no, I don't think we'll ever see a vein pop out of his forehead with anything that we could bring up.
All right. Well, it's good to have a test.
At least not while I'm vertical, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If I go down, come look.
Yeah, sure. It's good to have a tether to reality.
We have an AED in the corner, Joe. Right, we'll take good care of you.
Do we?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the interns are here for. That's why we have them doing push-ups so they can do that, CPR. Okay, and guess what?
It's time again.
I know. It is. Okay, 560-9851 is the number to call. Give us a call. We've had one call this morning from Penny Packer, our most loyal caller. I think our most voluminous caller in terms of number of calls. And then you could send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. You're going to want to get in on this because this, we're getting to the always the most fun part of our show.
Yes.
The why. And get coastsiders, feel free to pile on. Why? Reporters in rain gear. Out on location in storms. You've seen it. You've mocked them yourself. Late night comedians do it all the time. This is your chance. We're going to do it. Come back in 2 minutes. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.
Juliet Kulda, owner of the Kulda Group with Keller Williams Realty, talks about rising interest rates.
A lot of people have been asking about mortgage rates and how they affect purchase power when buying a home. Since the start of 2018, rates have gone up twice, and we will probably see at least one more move. While we don't know for certain what will happen with rates, the economy suggests that the interest rate trends will continue to go up. So if you're a buyer purchasing up to a $1.3 million home with a $1 million mortgage in play and rates go up by a 0.5%, your purchase power has eroded by about $100,000. So now you're looking at a purchase of $1.2 million instead of $1.3 million. So if you're hesitating buying a home, waiting for the home prices to go down, you should remember to factor in how rates will affect your offer price. To learn more about the next steps to take in finding your dream home, or if you're thinking of selling, please call the Kulda Group at 650-560-8663 or visit us online at kuldagroup.com.
Hi, Wayne Sutherland. I do residential landscapes both new and old, and when I introduce my clients for the first time to Rice Trucking Soil Farm, the same result, total amazement at the variety of materials. From stone to gravel to bark, an amazing assortment of soils. My clients have an opportunity to see different landscape designs and waterfalls and water features, and how walls are built in a multitude of styles, stones, and colors. Walkways laid out so my clients have an idea of how they might incorporate Rice's ideas into their own gardens. Whether you're a coastsider, do-it-yourselfer, or a professional landscaper, go and see the largest stone supply yard on the coast. They are located at 2119 Cabrillo Highway South in Half Moon Bay. And tell them, Wayne says, Rice Trucking Soil Farm delivers.
All right, and we're back. Coastal Windage.
We are back.
The talk of the coast. We ain't going nowhere. Hopefully you haven't either. 560-9851 number to call. We're going to get one more traffic report. Let's swing out to Mr. Mojo Filters for another look at traffic.
Okay, thanks, Ruben. We're really pretty clear just about everywhere you go. There's a little residual if you're going north on 1 wanting to get onto 92.
Wait, Mojo, didn't you read the script? We're building up a gigantic level of umbrage about the traffic and how terrible it is, and now you give us a report that it's all clear?
Well, here, if you go all the way down to Pescadero Beach, there's a little bit of slowing. I'm sure it's a tourist trying to turn into the parking lot, but that's, and I still got that thing showing, road, or lane closed on 35, but.
Yeah, that's from this Caltrans thing.
Yeah, and then 92 coming west right off of 280, it's showing slow at that intersection where it intersects with 35.
Right.
And it's been that way.
It has been that way. And, you know, actually the last couple of times I have been coming west on 92, been backed up to the overpass, like the San Mateo. And once we get past that light, I've flown.
Yeah.
That light has really held up traffic.
Well, there's that little parking lot there, too. And I think on these nice days, you know, people are attracted to the lakes there, the reservoir on both sides of the causeway there. And so, that little parking lot, actually, there's a lot of traffic because people come in through 35 from northbound, from southbound 280 up there at Bunker
Hill. That's another thing we're going to have to talk about in another show because there are more people and there are no crosswalks or anything there. And it does concern me because they do pull off and everyone's taking pictures, when the fog comes over, the sun rises, sets. Anyhow.
Okay. Speaking of weather.
Yes.
All right. So as I mentioned before the break, yes, this is an old stand-up comedian's bit. But since Katrina, this kind of theatrical spectacle has gone up a notch. And what I'm talking about is the ridiculous. At some time it was novel. At some time, you know, maybe in the 50s or the 60s when they put slapped the first reporter in a rain suit and told them to go out there and, you know, report on site, of having these reporters dress up in the rain gear and go out and stand in the rain for a hurricane that's coming. I mean, just on so many levels, beginning with, it's rain and wind. We've seen rain and wind before. I don't really need a person standing in rain and wind to give me perspective on what rain and wind does. I've experienced rain and wind, and I think every human has.
Yeah.
So why do we need a reporter out there?
It's the drama. It's the buildup. You have to see disaster. Like, I really do think it's like watching a train wreck. And people need to see, you know, they've been building it up and building it up for so long, which is good. You know, I think it was proper to tell people it's time to board up, time to get out because this looks bad. But I don't need a 15-minute update saying, okay, the water has risen 1/18th of an inch. And having you'll talk about the guy.
And I just have to go back, like, okay, you need an update? Here in El Granada, do I really need an update 3 days before landfall about what's going, you know, that about boarding up in South Carolina? The people in South Carolina do, and maybe the East Coast, but I don't think MSNBC needs to set up their storm, you know, bureau 3 days before landfall and go to their 24/7 breathless coverage. You know, I mean, that's the kind of thing that this is spectacle. And to complete the theater, yes, they've got to have their human props out there. So every once in a while, we get to enjoy, we get to enjoy a phone call. As in right now, we've got a caller here on Coastal Windage. This is Ruben Truthmaker with Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters. Who have we got on the phone this morning?
This is Lisa Harris.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
What can we talk to you about?
I actually was not able to listen to the whole entire program at all, because I was running amok as a monk on the coastside. But I am the mom that posted on Nextdoor about the whole anti-abortion protest at the high school. And I was informed that maybe I should call in. So I don't know if you guys have discussed it. I'm sure you have.
Well,
I wanted to get you before you off the air.
Well, thank you for calling, Lisa. Yes, we did discuss it. And what we were discussing, we were trying to discuss it in terms of not addressing the issue itself, but talking in terms of a group of grown adults coming and purposely positioning themselves in the line of traffic
Thank
of
you.
Children, w- with emotionally terrifying material intended to scare children.
Yes, that was my whole point of putting it out for the community. I drive to elementary, to Cunha Junior High, and then also to the high school. And I know I am a taxi mom. I am out there. I am a coach. I am a mom. I get paid in hugs and kisses. And to have someone blatantly smile, say God bless, and toss this very deceptive magazine. It wasn't a pamphlet. It was a full 8x10, 17-page magazine into my car with a God blessing go while I'm stuck trying to leave the high school. Looking at children's faces as they opened this magazine was absolutely
disgusting.
Yes.
Lisa, let me ask you this question, because this is what we asked when we were discussing it earlier in the show. So from your perspective as someone who literally experienced this incident, is this, and try to be as objective as possible as you consider this, because I know that it was emotionally traumatizing for you as well. What would a 12-year-old think? But anyways, is this American free speech or is this terrorism?
There was nothing in, I still have the magazine. There was nothing in there about abstinence. This is all about, even if someone happens to be right.
I was saying that I thought it was emotional terrorism.
Seriously, this was, I can't say terrorism, but it is terrific. Not terrific.
Horrific.
No. Terrifying.
Terrifying and horrific, yes.
Gruesome. The pictures and to have a man, multiple people, all the way up Lewis and Foster Drive, handing these out. I know Cunha kids walk Main Street to go to school. So they're handing them out to sixth graders.
That's so disgusting. Yeah. And they can't unsee that.
They cannot. I actually, when I was stuck in traffic, I saw two girls walking up who happened to open it up at the same time I was. I'm like, oh my Lord. And this was, if it was adults, fine. These are children.
Yeah, that's one thing we were talking about, Lisa. If they had planted themselves at Main Street and Kelly, it would still have been invasive and horrific. But at least, that's where adults are walking in the middle of the day. Kids are in school. But these people specifically targeted children.
Yeah. This is 7:45 in the morning.
They were preying on kids. If they had done that downtown, they would have had problems with adults. They purposefully chose an area where it would be the kids walking and it would be the parents in cars where they couldn't stop.
Yes.
We were stopped. We couldn't keep going. Yeah.
They were stuck in traffic. Were stuck in traffic.
Yeah. So you have people leaving the high school after the drop up, kids walking up to high school to get back to the Main Street stop sign. There's this man with a huge cardboard sign and a board of fetus with a quarter next to it to show its size.
Well, at least
I put up on next door. I put the man with the picture, and I put my outrage towards them. The school and the district. I talked to the intendant. They didn't even know it was happening. I called first, apparently, and the line started blowing up afterwards. I received phone calls. I mean, the school and the district did a great job of moving them away from the school. But they were targeting children who aren't even allowed to vote.
Lisa, we're running out of time today, but thank you so much for calling in. And I also want to say thank you for making that post. Without that post on Nextdoor, the community may not be aware, that didn't actually see it, may not be aware that this incident happened. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be in the paper. It certainly wasn't on any local Bay Area news.
Or even that their kids might not have said anything. I mean, now at least, the parents are aware.
Can have that discussion.
Yeah, they can have that discussion. And because that's like close to a PTSD thing. Like,
absolutely.
I have a 9-year-old daughter. I'm glad I was not in the car, so I did not have to explain this to you.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, Lisa, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a vigilant member of the community and making that post. We really appreciate it. And please call back again.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get to you earlier. I know your show is over, but I do apologize. Mom.
No worries. Appreciate it.
No worries.
I'll take it.
All right. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So we're just about out of time. Thank you for Lisa for making the post and for calling. I'm just going to take a big breath, shift thought patterns from that kind of down negative thoughts to finish on a funny note with back to our lambasting of the weather reporters. Every once in a while, the curtain gets pulled back and we see that this all is just theater. For example, this last time, Hurricane Florence, Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Seidel, in full rain gear in North Carolina, looking like a mime pulling an endless rope, barely able to stay on his feet, barely keeping himself upright against the savage wind and rain, as two guys in shorts and sneakers casually strode through the background of the shot. I mean, that just like, okay, guy, what are you doing here? The news, Weather Channel came out and said he was on grass and he had been out all day and he was tired. No, this dude was out there making a complete spectacle, trying to make it seem like, you know, he was in 100 mile an hour wind, barely able to stand up. But my favorite, which you will love, in 2005 in New Jersey, Today Show reporter Michelle Kosinski came on air paddling a canoe through the flooded streets of some New Jersey township. Quoteth Kosinski, "It's really tough to control a canoe or boat when you're out in it," she told Matt Lauer and Katie Couric. Then, again in the background, beautifully framed, two guys walk through the shot up to about their ankles in water, casually strolling through as she struggles to control her canoe in the raging floodwater.
It was funny.
All right, Coastsiders, we just have so much fun on this show. It goes by like that. We'll be back next Friday, as we always are, at 9 a.m. You can listen to our podcast of our shows on khmbradio.com. Please do. Please call us, 560-9851, next Friday, beginning at 9 a.m. For Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters, this is Ruben Truthmaker for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.